Luke chapter 19. And I also second what Pastor was saying about all the pollen that's around here. And I woke up this morning, I saw my car covered in pollen. Now, when you just touch it, open up the door, your fingers are yellow. And then we get here, we pull in this morning, and we see the parking lot is covered in pollen. And I looked at her, and I'm like, my goodness, I don't think we've ever seen pollen like this. But back in Indiana this morning, they woke up with, what, four to six inches of snow. So I got to try and, you know, be thankful. I have terrible allergies, but I got to weigh out which one I don't like more. Snow, the pollen that brings me allergies, and so I don't know. It's hard for me. I am thankful, though, we didn't wake up with all that snow. So that is a perk of being down here in the South for sure. Luke chapter 19 is where we're going to be this evening. We're going to look at the first 10 verses of the passage, and I'm going to go ahead and read those. Read those silently where you are with me. Luke chapter 19, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, and he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying that, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you so much. I thank you for all that you've done for me and given to me, Father. I thank you for the opportunity to preach in your house this evening to your people, God. I count it as honor, and I pray that the message that I have to give this evening would be a help, would be an encouragement, would be a challenge in some way to your people, to myself, as I've studied and as I've prepared this, Father, that we would be able to walk out of here changed because of being in your presence today and hearing from your word. God, I pray that you would cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your power and your spirit, give me the right words and the clarity of thought that I need to say what you would have for me to say. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So we see here, and just to lay a little bit more background to our passage this evening, we're going to look at two things. We're going to look at the city, the setting of where this story is taking place, and then we're obviously going to look at the man for which the story is taking place. So just to get things kicked off this evening, we look a little bit at Jericho, the city of Jericho. The city of Jericho is known as the City of Palm Trees. It's located 6 miles from or west of the Jordan River and about 18 miles northeast of Jerusalem. So it was a very common city for those who are heading down to the holy city of Jerusalem. It would be a final stop for many on their pilgrimage there. We see that it's a location of military personnel, if you were to study and find out. It was a headquarters for the military there. It was a prosperous center of commerce. And so there was a lot going on here in the city of Jericho, as we come to find out. And it was a road from Damascus to Arabia passed by right through there. So it was a highly populated area, a lot of traffic coming through and going. It was the gateway to Judea from the east. And so there was a lot going on. There was a lot that could be taking place, a lot of people, a highly populated area here in Jericho. We also know that it was where the walls came tumbling down for the Israelites and Joshua far back earlier into the Bible. And so there's a lot of history here in Jericho, and it's a popular place for those who especially kids, younger ones who know the Bible, just basically because of that story with Joshua and the Israelites. Jericho, the city of Jericho, that's where the story is taking place this evening. But then we see a man called what? are called who? Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. You know, there's really not a ton we know about this man, Zacchaeus. But this one thing we do know about him was that Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior, you got to get the gesture, get whatever, and you know, for the kids. As the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down. For I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today." We all know that about Zacchaeus, right? We learned that growing up in Sunday school and in junior church, maybe even in the nursery or something like that. We all know that about Zacchaeus. We teach it to our kids or to our children, our grandchildren, all kinds of things like that. And it's just a fun little song that we can get to help us learn about Zacchaeus and the story going on there. The one thing we know for sure about him is that he wanted to see this Jesus, but he was short. He was short. Can I ask you this evening, have you ever come up short? I'm not talking just necessarily in height. I am a rather short man. I am small in stature, as Zacchaeus would have been. But I'm not talking just about that, although we can go that route. You've been maybe to some sort of event where there's a large crowd of people and they're just everywhere. And you know, you try to see around them and you do your best because you're small. So we'll go that route. You are small like me, small like Zacchaeus, and you're trying just to get yourself situated in the best place possible so that you could see. Whether you're at a ball game, you're at a concert, you're at maybe a school play, whatever it might be, you're trying to see, or maybe you're just trying to get through the crowd, much like we see Zacchaeus later on was trying to get through the crowd. But you're small. You've come up short, and it's hard to get through that crowd full of big people. They're big bullies that just want to stand in your way and almost be a wall, a block, so that the little people can't get through. Yes, I'm talking from experience. It's annoying sometimes. It's disappointing sometimes. There are times where little people and smaller people can get through crowds like that, because I did at one point get through those. But you come up short in that way. Maybe you've come up short in other areas of life. It's time to make a payment on something. It's time to pay those bills. You come up a little short. You don't have everything, all that money that you need to pay that bill. You come up short maybe in time. You're on your way somewhere, someplace important, for an event of some sort. Maybe on your way to work and you're cutting it close on time. You don't know if you're going to make it. You might be late. Hey, you're a little short on time. Whatever it is, whatever it was, you come up short and it seemed like there was nothing that you could do about it. It was too late, too many obstacles, so much in front of you, you weren't going to make it. You came up short. Now, back to Zacchaeus. We see here from this passage and from this study on Zacchaeus, he was the chief publican. What's a publican, you may ask? Publicans were collectors of the tolls or the tributes, the taxes, so to speak. These were not liked guys. Nobody liked the publicans. Why? They were often oppressive and very dishonest. They would take more from people than they needed to. They would cheat the people often. The publicans were so distrusted, get this, that they were prohibited from testifying in a court of law. That's how distrusted they were. Banks disdained their business, and even their charitable gifts generally were refused. That's how distrusted they were. That's how dishonest they were, and nobody liked them. But we do see that they were rich. Therefore, Zacchaeus was a very, very wealthy man. He had that going for him. He had a good job. No, nobody liked him, But he had a good job. He was rich. He was a wealthy man. He probably had everything he wanted. Anything that he can have in life, more than likely he would have had. He was unable to see Jesus. We see this because of the crowd of people, and he was too short. But we also see that he had not just a short problem, but he had a heart problem. Zacchaeus had a heart problem. He lied to the people that were coming to him. He would cheat hit the people. He would cheat his way into getting more money. And he didn't know the Lord personally in his heart and life. In other words, he wasn't saved. He wasn't a born-again believer like you and I might be this evening. But most importantly, though, from where he was and how short he was, he came up short, there it is again, from seeing Jesus. He came up short from seeing Jesus. You know, we're all like Zacchaeus when it comes to this in our spiritual condition. At one point in our life, we come up short of seeing and knowing Jesus personally in our lives. Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. Because there's none righteous, no, not one." In fact, the best that we have to even offer him is nothing but filthy rags before God. So we see that God, though, with all of his love towards us, towards mankind, even back then, towards Zacchaeus and the people, that he would give his only son to come and die for us for everlasting life. That's who Jesus was. That's what Jesus would do. In fact, at this point in the story, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. This is the very end of Jesus' ministry here on earth. He's working up to this point. And we see these several things about Zacchaeus, but more importantly, we see that he had a spiritual condition and a heart problem. He needed Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ tells him right here in this passage what his mission was, why he was here on earth, what he was getting ready to go do for Zacchaeus. And it stands for us today as well. Who was this Jesus? You know, what was it about this Jesus character that was so great that we see Zacchaeus doing what he did? Much like other characters, other people back then in this time, he surely had to have at least heard of some of the things that this Jesus had done. Some of the miracles that he possibly had done, the things that he had said or taught or preached. Maybe he knew someone personally. You can't help but just imagine yourself being in the New Testament, walking with these people side by side, trying to think what they thought and see what they saw. I love being able to do that. And that's the way that my mind thinks, is he must have heard several of these things enough to intrigue him and just, I want to see Jesus. I've heard a little bit about what he could do and who he is. I just got to see him. I just want to see him with my two eyes, but I'm short. I've come up a little short. And what is there to do? What can I do as a little guy? He wanted to see Jesus. Jesus, the one who's a friend to everyone, to sinners and to believers. The Jesus who is a lover and he is a forgiver of sins, who's faithful and merciful and gracious and kind and caring. The Jesus that's powerful. Obviously, he's powerful enough to do the miracles that he's done, to be able to heal the sick and heal the blind. He's the same Jesus that is the great I Am. He's the creator and the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He's the Prince of Peace. He is all these things, the Alpha Omega, the Great Shepherd. No, Zacchaeus may not have known all of this at this exact time, but Jesus was all of these things and much, much more. He was the Almighty God, the Rock of all ages. What he didn't know either was that Jesus knew him, Jesus knows you, that Jesus knows what Zacchaeus needed, and Jesus knows what you need today, and that being a relationship with him. He knows what you can become. He doesn't see you just as you are, but he sees you as you can be, as you will be for him. And he saw the same thing with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus did not know all this at that time, But these are many reasons that why with Jesus, nobody comes up short. Zacchaeus came up short. He could not see Jesus because of his height. He couldn't see Jesus because of his spiritual condition, but because of Jesus and who he is and what he has done. If you are saved and if you are born again believer of him, nobody comes up short with Jesus. And we'll see this as we go throughout the passage as well. What can we learn from this short man named Zacchaeus in this passage? Number one, we see that Zacchaeus didn't make any excuses. Zacchaeus made no excuse whatsoever. I found this illustration I'd like to share. Many may know of William Sidney Porter. He was better known as O. Henry. It was his pen name. He became one of the most popular authors in America in the late 1800s, known for his short stories. He wrote for years and years, but his literary career really took off from the most unlikely place. It took off from prison. And prison is where his literature became popular and where he became well known for his writings. Porter had been convicted of embezzlement from a bank where he had worked in Texas. Although there was little evidence or some evidence, that it was not theft, it was just carelessness on his part that led to the loss of funds. He was sentenced to 5 years in this Texas prison. While there, he wrote and published some of his best-known stories, establishing himself as a premier author there in the late 1800s. Many of you may have read growing up The Ransom of Red Chief. I know that I did. I know Olivia did. Those who take the Becca Academy courses and things like that, it's in there. And a couple other of his literary works are as well. He was a well-known man, but he came out of nowhere. Where did he come from? From prison? This is where this came from? He didn't make any excuses in order to be the author that he wanted to be and the author that he is known for today. We all know guys who made excuses in the Bible. People that made it in the Bible who made excuses, that gave up and didn't go about things the way that they were told to or should have. Moses, Samson, Jonah, Ananias and Sapphira, the list can go on and on and on. We all know of those in the Bible, though, who didn't make excuses as well. Zacchaeus being one of them. An unlikely character, an unlikely person that we would not think of in that case, but he did not make any excuses. He could have given up when he couldn't see Jesus, but he didn't. He found the nearest tree and he climbed up it. He did what he had to do in order to achieve what he wanted to do, what he wanted to achieve. He wanted to see Jesus. He had to get higher above the crowd so he could see Jesus. And that's exactly what he did. Are you making excuses today in your Christian life? Maybe in your service for God, you're finding some sort of excuse that you could just keep using for, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can go about it. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't maybe give up this sin. I can't overcome it. I can't conquer it. I can't get through this trial or over it. And you're making excuse after excuse after excuse. Are you there this evening? You know, you don't have to make excuses like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus didn't make excuses. He overcame his obstacles. He did what he had to do in order to see Jesus. Little Zacchaeus climbing up a tree to see Jesus. Don't make excuses. That's what we see first of all here in this passage. Secondly, we see that Zacchaeus did not take someone else's word for it. For what? He didn't take other people's word about who Jesus is, what Jesus was doing, and what Jesus was saying, and all these things. He could have very easily been tempted to do this, but he did not take someone else's word for it. He wanted to see who Jesus was. He wanted to see him personally with his own two eyes. But since he could not see over the crowd, he could have asked someone in the crowd, "Hey, what do you see? What's he look like? What's he saying? How's he dressed? What's he doing now? The crowd is starting to chant or to roar. What is he doing? I can't see him. Just tell me. Just tell me." If Zacchaeus had done that, do you think that he would have gone away satisfied? I think he would have, actually. I think he could have. He would have heard somebody describing to him what Jesus looked like, perhaps what he was doing and all these things, but it simply would not have been the same to him as seeing him with his own two eyes. And so he wanted to see Jesus with his own two eyes enough. He didn't take other people's words for it. Wesley, where are you going with this? Well, when you listen to somebody else tell you about Jesus, and you don't do your own study, and you don't do your own reading in the Bible that God has given you, and you perhaps have on your lap with you this evening or sitting in your home, when you don't do the study yourself about who Jesus is and what he's done, not just for everybody else, but for you individually, the great things that he can do and the great things he is, but you listen to other people tell you all these things, it's not the same. And I take it, and I hate to say this and to think it this way, but I think a lot of Christians, most of Christianity today, that's the way we go about it. We go to church, we attend our Sunday school, we attend our Wednesday night services and Bible studies, maybe extra studies throughout the week, and we hear about Jesus. We hear about these things that he can do and he is. But it's not personal to us because we're not doing our own study. It's not real to us because we're not looking at it and reading it with our own two eyes. We're not imagining ourselves in the scripture there with him as we could be and taking it all in. We're hearing it through the mouth of other people. I don't think that that is the best place that we can be in our Christian walk with God, in our walk with him and in our Christian life. No. I see here not to take someone else's words for it. Do whatever is necessary. Go out of your way to do whatever it is to see Jesus for yourself. No, you're right. You can't see him physically. He's not physically here in this room tonight where you can see him and you can touch him. No, but you can see him through Scripture. You can. You can feel his presence in your life if you're saved and if you're in a relationship with him. You can see him and experience him for yourself. You can experience the Christian life for yourself as well. Most Christians today, once again, they show up for church on Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night or Wednesday night, and they live how they want through the rest of the week. It's a show. It's facade that they put on when they, it's a Sunday, it's church time, it's time to meet with my brothers and sisters in Christ. They fake it till they make it, you know? But you can experience Jesus for yourself. You can experience a relationship with him yourself. You can experience the Christian life yourself as well. We see Zacchaeus didn't take someone else's words for it. He wanted it that badly, that he went out of his way. He did the unthought of. Who would think about climbing up a tree just to see someone? You know, and he did what he needed to do in order to accomplish what he sought out to do. I see from this is don't blindfold yourself. Don't blindfold yourself and just be listening to everyone around you describe to you the things of God and the Bible. No, make it real to you. Make it real to you. You know, when someone goes someplace, maybe it's a trip, a vacation, whatever it might be. It's a beautiful place, maybe. Maybe it's just a truly awesome place. Maybe it's thrilling. To those thrill seekers out there who just love to do those types of things. Maybe it's a magical place like Walt Disney World. And you go there and these people come back and they're telling you all about the awesome experience that they had there. What's it make you want to do? It makes you want to go and experience it for yourself. The same thing can be for us in our Christian life, in our walk with God. Experience it. Experience him for yourself. Don't take other men's words for it. Number three, we see that Zacchaeus went to the source. He went to the source. He didn't ask around, hey, you know, are you a disciple? Oh, you're good enough. No, he wasn't settling for nothing. He wanted the real deal. He wanted Jesus. He went to the source and he did what he had to get there. Verse 2 here in chapter 19, it says, he sought to see Jesus. He sought to see Jesus. He could have gone home when there was an obstacle in the way. He couldn't see him. He was too short. The crowd was too big, but he kept going. Instead of settling for what somebody else could say about Jesus, Zacchaeus kept going. He even went through the trouble of running ahead, jumping up, climbing into this tree to see him pass by. The decision that he had to make was an obstacle, I believe. Do I do it or do I not? The crowd was an obstacle to him. Do I try to make my way through it? Or wait, there is a tree here. You know, the crowd was an obstacle. The decision was an obstacle. But in a way, this tree was just another obstacle. I look at a tree, and honestly, it never, ever, ever passes or goes through my mind, I want to climb this tree. I've never been big at that. Oh, man, I want to go climb a tree today. But Zacchaeus, you know, I don't know. Sycamore tree, he saw it, it was there. He must have just been like, hey, you know what? It's all I have, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to overcome this obstacle and do what needs to be done. You mean he had to climb up a tree? Yes. You mean he possibly had to get a running start maybe to get his way up? Possibly, yes. You mean he had to physically exert himself in order just to see Jesus? Yes. He had to do all these things. He did. It took effort for Zacchaeus to be able to get what he wanted. But he did it. He did it. Have you ever noticed the great lengths to which people go to do something that they really want to do? To the point where nothing is going to stop them. You ain't going to stop them. Grandma ain't going to stop them. Nothing's going to stop them. They're going to do what they sought out to do. Why? Determination. Determination. That is what Zacchaeus had. When we want to do something, we almost always find a way to get it done. And Zacchaeus finds a way here to see Jesus, to get it done. He wanted to see it, and he did. He was determined. You know, there's that quote, where there's a will, there's a what? A way. Where there's a will, there's a way. And we see that taking place here in this passage. The woman with an issue of blood for 12 years was determined to get to Jesus, was she not? She did what she had to do. She heard Jesus was going to pass through town by her way, and she had enough faith that even if she just touched the hem of his garment, she would be healed. She was determined to get to Jesus. We see Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. He went to find Jesus while his 12-year-old daughter was dying at home. He left her at home with just hope of finding Jesus and bringing Jesus back. And even in the midst of that, we see several things taking place. And by that time, everybody back home and all around is, dude, forget it. Your daughter's dead. Jesus ain't going to do nothing for you. But he was determined to get to Jesus, and he was determined that Jesus would heal and raise his daughter from the dead. Blind Bartimaeus, while not being able to see Jesus, to get to Jesus, to find his way, he was determined enough that if he were to just shout, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, that Jesus would hear him, turn his way, and would go and heal him. We see the paralytic man here in the Gospels as well was healed and forgiven of his sins, all because his four friends were determined enough to get him to Jesus. You know, even Peter at that one point in his life was determined enough to get to Jesus that he was going to step out of a boat and walk on water. Determination. Determination. It can do a lot for us. It can do a lot for us. Are you determined to get past the obstacles that you may face? The trials, the storms in life, whatever it is, in order to get to Jesus? Zacchaeus wanted to get to the source himself to see him, and he was determined to do so. Are you? Are you determined to get to Jesus, to see him with your own eyes, to know him intimately and yourself personally? Lastly, we see the physical condition, but Jesus saw the spiritual need. This is a lesson that we don't learn from Zacchaeus, but we learn from Jesus in this passage. We see physical conditions. We see the outward appearance, but Jesus sees the inside. He saw the spiritual need of Zacchaeus. And are we not the same with almost everybody we meet on a regular daily basis? We look down upon people. We We judge the book by its cover. We think down and wrongly of them because of whatever it is. And we just judge them. We might laugh at them, whatever it might be. But do we ever stop to think about that person's spiritual condition? I'm guilty of this as well, folks. We all are guilty of this. Do we ever just take that time, that second, that whatever, however long it is, to think not just, man, that person's going through a rough time. Man, you know, that person is fill in the blank, but man, I wonder if they're saved. I wonder if they ever heard the gospel. I wonder if I could be the one to share that with them. Jesus sees the spiritual need. That's something we can learn from him in this passage. Not to focus on the outward, not to focus on the physical condition or the height of the person, no, but to focus on the heart as well. Jesus doesn't look at the physical limitations or the condition of sinners. He looks at their empty, broken heart and sees their need of a Savior. That's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus does. And maybe that's you this evening, but I got good news for you if that's the case. If you don't know him personally this evening, you finish out this passage in verse number 10. Jesus closes out saying this about himself. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is all of these things and more, but he's also come to seek and save that which was lost. You could be saved and maybe find new life in this Jesus Christ this evening. Maybe you're not seeing him as you once saw him. Maybe you need this new love for him, this newfound vision of him, so to speak. You see him for who he truly is, and you want to see him again. Or maybe you're here this evening, like I just said, and you don't actually know him, and you want to see him for the first time. You can. You can, once again, for yourself. Like never before, you could see him and experience him. You can experience the Christian life like never before, once again. Just like Zacchaeus did. Yeah. You can experience all these things. It only comes with a little bit of determination. You just have to have the determination like Zacchaeus. Many others throughout the scriptures to overcome your obstacles. Whatever it is that life has for you here and now and in the future. And do what you need to do to find him and experience him like never before. Like never before in your life. A couple lessons we can learn from this short man named Zacchaeus this evening. Don't make excuses. Whatever you're facing, don't make excuses. Don't take others' words for it. Experience him in the Christian life personally. Be determined to get to the source. Do whatever's necessary to find him. Go straight to him. Look at other spiritual needs, not their physical condition. And lastly, because of all of these things that Jesus is, and Jesus does. With him, doesn't matter the size of your stature, nobody comes up short with Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this wonderful truth that we found here in your word this evening, God. And Lord, this might have been something that all of these people have already known, but God, it was a challenge to me. It was refreshing to me. Once again, as I studied this, to share and to preach it this evening, Father, and I pray that some way, somehow, it would be a help to your people here, God, that we would see you for who you are, and God, that we'd overcome our obstacles and not make excuses, and God, all these other truths that we found in your word tonight, I pray that you would work in our hearts and in our lives as only you can. Bless this invitation time and the remainder of the evening as it goes about. In your name we pray. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, stand where you are.